If you think you are standing strong, oh wait, no, this verse here, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The temptations that you have are the same ones that all people have, but you are to trust God. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand. When you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape. Then you will be able to stand it. If you think that your standing against temptation on your own is going to be enough, I'm telling you this morning, it is not. You need to rely on God to get you through those temptations. And it says here that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to handle. When you say things like, I just couldn't help myself, you're basically lying to yourself. And when you say, I will provide, God, you know, God says, I will provide the sustaining grace to give you a way to escape. God always provides us a way out of sin. It gives us the ability to handle temptation. And this is what really drives me crazy about some people, not you, but some people have said to me, well, God just hasn't convicted me of that yet. There's a philosophy that's involved there, and that philosophy is called hooey. It's a bunch of hooey to think that. Okay? God said he will give you a way out. And you think because it's a unique circumstance, you can continue in sin. Listen, that's not how God works. There is no unique circumstance that allows you to sin. God doesn't allow us to sin. He doesn't want it. Well, he allows us. He doesn't encourage you to sin. He doesn't give you his stamp of approval. Part of the reason we need the escape is because we are just exhausted. We say, you know what? I couldn't help myself. And you're right. You're beyond helping yourself. You need to rely on God. God's sustaining grace, number two, can keep you standing when you're tired. You ever been so tired that all you want to do is just wherever you're at? It doesn't give you the right to sin. And sometimes I'm not really tempted, I'm just tired, and so I don't really want to fight with it. And I got to say to you, life's exhausting. Just living life can be tiring. And you don't want to try to do the right thing because that'd just be too much work. It might take some effort. I want to say something to you. When you're coasting, why are you coasting? Because you're headed downhill. We get caught in this coast mode where there's no effort being put out by us. That usually means you're headed downhill. I don't know that hills that are worth climbing, you're ever going to coast up. It doesn't work. And we're supposed to take our direction upward, right? Would you agree with that? Okay? And you're saying things like, well, I don't know that I can do that. It's too tough. It requires energy. It requires effort. It requires strength. Some of you are the only Christian at your place of employment or your school. Some of you are the only Christian, and you feel like you're moving against the flow. You're going in a direction, and you think, God wants me to go this direction, but everybody else is coming this way. It'd be so much easier just to turn around and follow the group. Or just blend in with the crowd. And I will tell you, that's not what God calls us to do. God says, let us grow not weary in doing right, for we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, it is God who gives us the ability to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now listen, you need to know a couple of things. The Holy Spirit resides in us. And if you circle that and you understand that I have the Holy Spirit residing in me, there's one other phrase you can circle in that verse or underline in that verse, is that he would give you the power to stand firm. One of the things that's most difficult when you're doing anything is to get a stance. And every athlete, every game that you play, everything in life, it says you need to get a good stance on things. You don't just get up to a football line and you stand there like this and wait for the ball to be hiked and then you take off because you're not ready for anything. God said you're supposed to take a stance and you're supposed to stand firm. And I know we're tired, okay? And listen, here's the reason you're tired, because you're trying to live the Christian life. And you're trying to live a Christian life. You're trying to be like Jesus, and you're trying to do good, and you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments, and you're trying to keep your integrity, and you're trying to do, and you're trying, and you're trying. And listen, part of being trying is getting tired. It's so difficult to be a Christian today. I've heard it said. And it's not difficult. It's impossible in our world, it seems, to be a Christian in society today. You need to stop trying on your own and try to be like Jesus. If you just are like Jesus, be Jesus for these people. Stop trying in your own effort and start trusting in God. Right? It's not psych yourself up, talk yourself into it. It's not that kind of thing. Listen. There was this movie 20 years ago, cartoon came out. Now, listen, I'm not a big cartoon fan, but this one we watched, and it was called The Prince of Egypt. It was about Moses, okay? And Moses had incredible endurance. What did he do? He spent 40 years waiting in the wilderness for God's calling to come through in his life. And then he spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness with a bunch of people who didn't like him all the time. And I think, you know, that's 80 years. I would have gotten tired and quit after 8 minutes. I'm not Moses. But that's a perfect example of God's ability to see us through something. Do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? Anybody? 120 years. I've been working on a room for 3 weeks and I'm about dead. And I didn't really do most of the work. I did a lot of pointing. You know? I don't think I would have the endurance to put in 120 years. They lived a whole lot longer back then, right? So what did Moses live to be? 350, something like that? Something old. That's still one-third of his life. He spent a lot of years working on this boat. And what does the Bible say about Noah? Will you remember it? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, maybe we should preach on grace sometime. That's what we're doing. God wants to give you the power to do it. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For God is at work within you, giving you the will and giving you the power to achieve his purpose." Will and power. Now, I want us to understand, we say things like willpower. You need to have willpower all the time. No, what you need to have is God's will in your life and God's power. Not your willpower, but God's will and God's power. That's how we succeed in life. That's how we do the things that we do in Christ. You know, God made the sun. The sun produces enough power in one single second than all the human race could use throughout lifetime. That's how powerful God is. And so if I know that God is that powerful, he's the one that I need to plug into. Right? Because that kind of power is what God said. He's like, you know, the spiritual energizer bunny. Just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And when I want to give up, he keeps going and he keeps going and he keeps going. So you understand that we lose sight of God's grace when we are tempted and when we're tired, but God's grace gives us the power to keep going when I'm troubled. There's a T word for you. In other words, when I have problems, when I have difficulties, Jesus says, in the world you will have trouble. He said, expect trouble. Don't be surprised. Someone was like, well, I didn't expect it to be that hard. Listen, don't be surprised. Trouble will come your way just when you think you got it all in line. And don't be blown away by the troubles in your life, because troubles will come. But he also says, I will give you the power. God's word. There are three kinds of trouble. There's the trouble that kind of blows you away like the wind, just kind of overtakes you. Then there's that trouble that kind of weighs you down. You ever feel just really heavy? And then you have that trouble that comes along like the rug's been pulled out from under you. You have somebody one day, the next day they're gone. You're healthy one day, you wake up the next day, you can't move, you had a stroke in the middle of the night. Listen, there's all kinds of difficulties and troubles in our life, and they're all unplanned. I don't know anybody that plans for trouble. If they do, if you plan for trouble, you got to start planning better. Okay? And then we get this situation where we're in trouble. We think, well, I made this mess. I got to clean it up. Okay, yes, that's at my house. That's the rule. You mess it up, you clean it up. I want to make that perfectly clear. All right? But that's not what God says. God said, look, your life has been made a mess. If you give it to me, I'll clean it up for you. You just have to surrender it. And the most difficult problems in our life are the ones that are unfair. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody who's ever hurt a kid, that's not fair. Yeah, well, life's not fair. That's scriptural. You're going to have problems in your life. There are things that you didn't ask for, that you didn't cause. You just have to deal with it. They're undeserved, and they're unrelenting. They keep coming at you and coming at you. You didn't do that. But most of us can handle problems we can see, and we can see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. We can see that. We can understand that kind of trouble. There are some things in life that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't know how to explain this without sounding like a negative Nancy or negative Ned, okay? You grew up in the background that you weren't a Christian and they weren't Christian people and they hurt you and all these things. And listen, as a kid, I remember thinking, man, when I graduate, I'm out of here. I remember thinking that. And my mom asked me, what do you want for graduation? I said, a set of luggage. Now, I wasn't humorous back then. I just wanted to get out. Graduated May 23rd. I left August 1st. Never moved back home. There was a light at the end of the tunnel. But what happens if you don't have a light? There are some hurts that won't ever go away. They're just there, and you have to deal with them. No matter all the wishing you do, the troubles are still going to be there. And those are the ones that hurt the most. Because you got to deal with you, and you can't change somebody else. And then we start playing the if-only game. You know what I'm talking about? Well, if only I had different parents. If only I had married somebody else. Or if only I had a different job. Well, if only doesn't work. It's like that guy in my house, not me. It's if only. If only doesn't work. It doesn't solve your problems and it doesn't solve your pain. Here's the deal. If only you had different parents, you'd have a different set of problems. Because the Bible says you will have difficulties. Right? Instead, you need to put your focus, instead of the if onlys, you need to put your focus on Christ and his sustaining power. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, it says, don't worry because I am with you. Do not be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong. I will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you. He reaches down and grabs us. What does he say? He's going to be with me. He's going to make me strong. He's going to help me. He's going to support me. He's going to save me. That's what we can count on. That pretty much covers everything. And Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge, our strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. God said always, I need to believe always he will be there. And what happens is I get to the point of my despair and I say, you know what? Maybe God's just not here today. That is untrue. Again, that's that guy, Huey, lying to you. It ain't happening that way. God loves you and will help you in your time of trouble. I remember this couple that Faith and I were friends with in Ridgecrest, okay? And she got pregnant. Quads. Is that four? Quads? She had four babies. So what does that mean? First of all, she spent a lot of time in bed, a lot of time worrying. She was, when she gave birth, two of the babies were in the same sack, which means something to most women. Guys, it's trouble, right? And so two of them were born from the same sack, and they spent NICU. They were there for 6 weeks. There were problems with two of them had heart issues and had to have heart surgery. And so a few months later, they even heard more news that that one of their sons, Hunter, was blind and had cerebral palsy. So he's hearing all this stuff. Cerebral palsy is not a problem you can solve overnight. It's something you live with your entire life. So the church, what they did was they gathered around them, this family, and cared for them and prayed for them. And they had a 24-hour schedule set up, and the ladies and the men of the church came together and served them. And Kelly and Dennis shares their testimony at Thanksgiving time one time, and they said that their feelings of sadness in their situation, they gave them over to God and His grace. And what happens when you can't fix an unfixable problem? What do you do when you can't solve the unsolvable question or the unsolvable riddle or the unchangeable circumstances or something you can't control that hurts deeply in your life? You throw yourself on the grace of God. And here's the problem with our society today. We throw ourselves on the answer of self-reliance. You can do it. You know, we like to think, you know, I'm the master of my own fate. Listen, that is, again, hooey. The word of the day. You cannot control the major events in your life. You didn't control where you were born. You didn't control to whom you were born. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose where you're going to die. I've got a lot of places I'd rather die than on the road in my car. But I don't always get to choose. One day you're going to wake up to the realization that there are limitations in your life. And you can't do those things. You're not in control. And you're going to think this thing called, and you're going to hit this thing called the midlife crisis. And you realize that you are not God. And you cannot control your life and what happens around you. And it hurts so bad. And you want to change things. So you try new things. What do men do when they have a midlife crisis? They apparently go get a motorcycle. I can't do that. My wife will kick me out. So, we do things like that because we want to put change in our life. And the only source of real change in our life have to come from God. You're going to have tension. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have temptation. You're going to have tiredness, right? And there are some things you can do. Number one, you can call out for God's help. As long as you pretend to be self-sufficient, as long as you try to control your circumstances, you short-circuit God's ability to help you. It's like that Laurel and Hardy black and white movie. The skinny guy was driving the fat guy, I don't know their names. Laurel, is Laurel the skinny guy? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He says, "You're driving wrong. Let me drive. I want to drive." So he pulls the wheel off and hands it to him. Well, you know what happens. You say, "I can't handle this." You cry out to God. The Bible says God gives grace to, help me finish it, the humble. So you have to give yourselves completely to God. Draw close to God and He will draw near to you. How do you draw near to God? Well, you can pray and pray earnestly and fervently. These are big words. Pray with passion. Pray with integrity. Don't say to God, "I'll never sin again." There's no integrity in that. Say, "Please forgive me. Help me to not sin again." Pray with emotion. God wants your heart. open. God listens to the tones of your prayers. And if you want everything, you have to ask yourself, do you want everything you're praying for? If you pray and you say, God, I want to be closer to you, and somebody in your life, this is a warning, by the way, somebody in your life has a better or a more important position in your life than God, and you pray, I want to be closer to God, that person is probably going to be gone. I have to be careful. I almost admit the wrong thing. They're going to be gone. You pray and ask God to draw him close to you. Sometimes we ask God for things that we didn't want. And you know what I'm talking about? Sickness. Lord, let the sickness be over. Sometimes the answer to that is death. So you ask God. David called out for God's help. And then you have to fill your mind with God's word. You need to get a translation of the Bible that you like. Okay? And I'm going to encourage you to do something that a lot of pastors do not do. But I will tell you, if you don't read the King James Version, you are not a sinner. Okay? There are some things in the King James Version that you have to really be a theologian to understand. And I'm not telling you can never read it. What I'm saying is you need to read something you understand. If you get something you don't understand, what good does it do to read it? It's like me going to a French restaurant and trying to order dinner. I'm never going to get what I want. I need to be able to order. I need to be able to see what I'm doing. So get the message. The message is a pretty clear interpretation of God's word. The New Living Translation, there's a NIV. Some people don't like the NIV because there's a couple little mess-ups in there. I think they left one little verse out. Man, if I only left one thing out of my life, I'd be in pretty good shape. Get something that will help you and begin to read it and get it into your mind. David says, I'm completely discouraged. Revive me. Revive me by your word, he says. There was a philosopher in the 70s. You guys have probably heard of him. Obi-Wan Kenobi. He says, Luke, the power is within yourself. Use the force, all that stuff. Listen, look inside yourself. Look, I've looked inside myself. I don't have the ability to change it. I have to look somewhere else, and I have to fill myself with God's word. I look to God. He's the only one that can change me. He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that has the strength to do what we can't do. Look outside of yourself. You've been looking at yourself your whole life, and you're not obviously the answer. So you need to look outside yourself and look to God. The Bible, the answers are not there. They're in God's word. It doesn't work the other way. It only works through God's word. And you have to call out for help. You have to accept help from God's people. Listen, the important part of that testimony of Dennis and Kelly were that the church came together and helped them with their quads. The church came together. You need to go to God's people because they're following God's word, hopefully, and they say, love your neighbor as yourself. So they're going to love on you as much as they love themselves and God. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, you got to do those things. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I need help, you're going to be willing to help. I know that each one of you, if I came to you and said, I needed this, I would have your support. Right? And because that's what family does. You need a support group, and that's what church is for. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. So you have to support, get support from God's people, and then you need to hold on to God's promises. You need to hold on to his promise. You know there are over 7,000 promises in God's word? Isaiah 40, here's some of them. He says, he gives us his strength. Gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired, right? But those who hope in the Lord, I love this, He will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Now it sounds familiar, right? They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You have to keep your hope in the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. So don't look at the troubles. We don't look at the troubles we can see right now. We rather look forward to the ones we haven't seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come, will last forever. In heaven, there's no more problems. In heaven, there's no more sorrow. There's no more sadness, no grief, no messed up life, no little boys like Hunter who have CP and blindness. You need God's sustaining grace today. And when you feel discouraged, and when you feel like giving up, and when you're being tempted, and when you're being pounded, and you can't get rid of that temptation, and you're tired, you think, I just can't put another foot in front of the other. I just cannot go on. 2 Corinthians says, I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem away from me. But he said to me, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, then my power is made strong in you. I'm perfected in you. If you give up, that means you're not letting God perfect his power in you. You are not to give up. See, when you go through this problem and we can't seem to fix it, what do? We give up. True story. I will tell you this. My mom, my real mom, piece of work. I would call her on Mother's Day and her birthday after I moved out. I called her on Mother's Day and her birthday. And I would say hello to her. And every time I'd call, I'd be, she'd whine about everything she's going through. And I would say, yeah, Mom, you know. And we'd talk. And one day, I'm living in San Diego. I have this piece of junk car, okay? And I'm replacing the clutch in my car. Now I'm talking men. See, I was talking women earlier. Now I'm talking men. Replacing the clutch. So I disconnected the transmission, took it off, put the new clutch, the clutch plate, lined it all up. You guys are like, I know what he's talking about. So I lined it all up, and what happened? I go to put the transmission back on the car. I couldn't get it on the car. For 2 days, I laid under that car trying to force this transmission on the car. Well, this was Friday, Saturday. Sunday was Mother's Day. I called my mom. She said, what are you doing? You sound tired. I said, well, I've been trying to get this transmission on my car. She said, well, loosen the motor mounts, put a bottle jack between the front of the engine and the frame of the car and jack it up, and it'll tilt the engine. You can slide that transmission right on. My mom. By the way, she can't cook pasta. But she could fix a car. Why did I tell you that? I was exhausted and ready to give up. She knew the answers. Now, listen, if I had broken that relationship with her, I would have never had that answer. And I will tell you, that transmission, within an hour, I was driving that car again. The rest of the car was not safe, but the transmission was good. You remember that car, huh? A little white beater car? I drove it up behind your house on that hill, straight up the hill there. Anyways, it was fun. But I will tell you, my answers didn't come until I gave up. And I just asked. And she knew the answer. This morning, the problems you're going through, if you just give up and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, you'd be surprised where the answer comes from. Little children, you may overhear something a little child says and say, you know what? That is so true. I've never heard so much deep theology sometimes as I hear in children's church from kids who don't have the world to muck up their thoughts. You know what I mean? What do they say? Out of the mouths of babes. Nothing truer could be said. Trust the Lord. Give him everything. And he will sustain you through those times when you think you can't make it. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to just pray that God will sustain you. And then we're going to sing a song and be dismissed. But I pray this morning that you would trust in him. Father, this morning we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to trust in him. And we ask for your sustaining power. Father, we confess those things to you that would stand in the way of us giving you our whole life. And Father, this morning I ask for each person who sits here today that you would give them sustaining grace. You saved them, you have a hold of them, and somehow they've stepped out of your control and they've allowed Satan to tempt them again, whatever that is. Father, I pray that you would reveal that to them right now and that you would break that cycle of sin. Father, that you would just grant peace and grace to each of us. This morning as we close this service, Lord, I pray that we would take the time to truly give you everything. And that, Father, after we do that, Father, as you reveal more stuff to us, that we would give it to you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.